the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you in peace this day, this third Sunday in the Lenten season. Grace to you in peace from Jesus, who comes to us, as always, in peace. Amen. Come and meet the one who knows everything about me and loves me anyway. This is the implicit statement behind the woman and the well statement. Come and see, come and meet the one who knows everything about me, implying, and he loves me anyway. Last week, we heard from John's Gospel, a little bit earlier in John's Gospel, the previous chapter, we heard about a conversation with a man under the cover of deep darkness and of the grace that those moments of deep darkness can offer. We talked about that a little bit last week. Today, on the other hand, we hear the conversation with a woman at the polar opposite time of day. It says this was about noon. So, as you all know, noon is the time when the sun is the highest and it is the hottest, especially in that part of the world, and the light is the greatest. Last week, Jesus met a man who's a man actually at the center of power in many ways. He was a Pharisee. He was at the center of temple life, and they meet by night. This man also has a name. This week, Jesus meets with a woman who is not at the center of the power, who is on the edge in many, many ways. She is on the fringe. She is a Samaritan, who for people in Jesus' day were not at the center of anything. She doesn't even worship at the temple in Jerusalem. And her name isn't even mentioned. So we have a nice contrast from last week to this week for us to come into. Honesty and making change and turning back to God. These have been some of our themes once again this Lent of 2014. And Jesus' conversation today with the Samaritan woman draws us right back into those themes of honesty, of making change, and of turning back to God. Now, this woman at the well, and it got a chuckle during the reading again today, this woman at the well, for many years, I think, has been assumed to have been a prostitute or a harlot. Maybe some sermons around the country right now are referring to her in such a way, but we don't really have any concrete evidence that this is the case. All we know is that she had five husbands, and so this assumption has been made, you should know. But in recent years, fortunately, some scholars and theologians have wondered differently. They've gone beyond just that assumption. Some have wondered maybe she lost all five husbands. Can you imagine? In that period of time, disease was rampant. Maybe they all got sick, one after the next. And she is a woman who is overwhelmed with grief. It was a warring time then, as it is now. Maybe her husbands were soldiers and their lives were taken in battle. We don't know. Or, in that day and age, a man could permissibly divorce and literally throw out his wife for just about any reason, among them if she wasn't able to bear children. Being cast out would have made a woman ritually unclean, not just with her husband, but with the whole community. She couldn't touch anybody if she had been cast out by her husband. So maybe that's why she's at the well by herself at the heat of day. This is not the most favorable time of day. You imagine, like we did with the children, drawing water. If we had to do that, if we had to draw our daily share of water from the well, I think we'd all meet each other at the well in the morning when it was cool, or in the afternoon, or the evening when it's getting cooler again. Definitely not at the heat of day. So that indication of being at noon, which interestingly is when Jesus goes up on the cross, that was when the outcast would go to the well. And this is where Jesus meets her. This woman was hurting. We don't know exactly what her circumstances were, but we can be pretty sure of that. She could have been grieving. She could have been physically battered and bruised. And even if promiscuity was part of her story, she no doubt had a painful history. She was at the edge in many ways. Wells were at the edge of town, so literally, but that image, and John knows exactly what he's doing when he creates these images. This woman is at the edge in many ways. She was, first of all, a woman, a Samaritan, and she was divorced. So in that period of time, that's three strikes against her. And the people who would have heard John's stories first would have known exactly what Jesus was doing. The imagery of the other couldn't be more blunt for those first hearers of John's gospel. But Samaritans, you know, we have stories of Samaritans. It's always a helpful tool and just a helpful practice when we talk about Samaritans in the Bible to just put ourselves, what are the modern day Samaritans for us? Who are the ones who are clearly the other? And that can be different for different ones of us. I've heard sermons before on the parable of the good Muslim. That strikes a chord a little bit differently than a Samaritan might, because we always think of a good Samaritan. The parable of the good Muslim. Other examples of Samaritans, depending on your own context, maybe atheists, maybe evangelicals, maybe liberals or conservatives. Sadly, we might add the Russians to this list of the other who we don't really like from our viewpoint right now. Homosexuals have been used. Rich people, poor people, maybe certain members of your own family who you can't stand. It's always helpful to just think about Samaritans in those terms. We draw the line and be honest. And remember that Jesus is always on the other side of that line that we humans draw to divide ourselves. Jesus is always on the other side, talking to the ones who we really don't want to have a whole lot to do with. Powerful lesson. And that, in this case, in this lesson today, is this five times divorced Samaritan woman. And the site of this extraordinary meeting is this ancient well, Jacob's well. So it was centuries and centuries old. Imagine that for a moment, that this well is still drawing water. It's still gushing with water. Another powerful image in this story. It watered Jacob's flocks those many years ago, and here this woman is still drawing water at the heat of day. Since the 4th century, this story has been one of the key baptismal texts for Christians, which is why I gather with the children around the font. There is a key tie. And many baptismal fonts in Europe and in the Middle East and Northern Africa and some in the United States as well. I've never thought about our font, really, to look like a well. But many fonts are intended, it's very intentional that the font looks like a well. Water that's way down deep. What a powerful image that is. And that just keeps gushing up and gushing up. There is still water coming from the well. Our gospel lesson today. There is still water coming from the well in the places where Jesus meets us. Jesus reaches out to this woman and to all who are outcast and hurting. All those histories that are messy and painful, Jesus reaches out and offers healing and peace and truth and love. And just as there is grace in the darkness, as we talked about last week, there is incredible grace in bringing things out into the light, in bringing our own stuff out into the open before Christ. This too is the work of repentance. And it starts deep down in the darkness. It's kind of the theme last week is these things start as we're nudged by the Spirit in the deep darkness of night. But it starts to come to the surface as we start to be open to the work of the Spirit in our lives. Certain things are going to come to life. You know, I think about our front yard. Some of you know that we have succulents planted all through our front yard. And I recently, about a year ago, not that recent, but I put in this aloe vera. And I thought for sure it wasn't going to make it. You know, I just thought, oh, I wasn't watering it very well, or I was overwatering it. I didn't know, but I couldn't get it to come up. And just a few days ago, I just saw this little bud. And that aloe vera is alive and well. A great image for how these changes and things happen first in the darkness, under the soil, if you will, and then they come to light. Out of the deep, peaceful darkness, certain things come to light. This is the story of the woman at the well. And we remember this, not just in Lent, this bringing everything to the light, but maybe in our daily lives. Every week, we gather around that font, we make our confession. During this Lenten season, we're saying these words at the beginning of every service, which is another way of saying we're coming out into the light by saying, we confess that we have turned away from you and from our neighbors and in toward ourselves. We have sought security in possessions and the place of power in relationships. We have trusted ourselves most of all. There it is, bringing it out into the light. We're all like little aloe vera plants just peeking out as we just make that beginning confession. And I want to invite you to take your bulletin home today and look at that confession and forgiveness. I want to challenge you just to try this week, just reading that every morning when you wake up, that confession that I just read and that you just read earlier this morning, and then read that promise of forgiveness that follows it. Make that a practice. Luther talked about that. Every time we splash the water on ourselves, we make our confession. After digging down deep, we come out into the light. We say, here I am, God, a sinner, broken before you. And then we hear God's forgiveness roll over us in the waters of baptism. Maybe another way of saying this, that we are broken, that we are sinful, that we have shady pasts, is we all have five husbands. We've had five husbands, Lord, which is another way of saying, Lord, we are grieving and we are hurting. Some of these things we are responsible for, some things we have done wrong, and then some things have just happened to us, and we are hurting, Lord. Forgive us for what we've done wrong, for the things for which we must take responsibility, and comfort us in our pain and our sorrow, in those things over which we have no control. And God, guide us back to you. Guide us back outward, not inward. Guide us outward to be your people, to the strange and to the strangers of this world. This is the woman at the well. There's so much in this text. It's hard to know exactly which way to go and what pieces to pull out. But, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to just love this scene of Jesus talking with a person who is so vastly different. I once had a friend who could talk to just about anybody. And you'd feel like you were just his best friend at the end of that conversation. Some of you are like this. We all probably know somebody who can just visit with just about anybody. My grandpa's like that. He loves to just chat with strangers, find things out, share some of his own life too. But you know, in those simple exchanges, some of the most profound things about being human and humanity occur. Strangers become friends when that happens. The enemy is indeed destroyed. Not with weapons. The enemy is dissolved with kindness and respect. And suddenly, that stranger is no longer a stranger, but a friend. And in those simple exchanges, we reenact in a tiny way God's very healing. Think of that the next time you catch someone just chatting with a stranger, or if you find yourself in that place. Know that you are reenacting God's very healing, God's very reconciling work. You are, in a tiny way, reenacting God's very incarnation, God's very coming to meet us here and now in the person of Jesus. That person of Jesus knows everything about us and loves us anyway. Sisters and brothers, there is still water coming from the well, gushing, even from the rocks, as our Old Testament lesson reminded us. There is still water gushing. There still is forgiveness, plenty of it. There still is new life. There still is hope for a broken world and a broken spirit. Living water gushes and cleanses us now and nourishes us for faithfulness into eternity. Jesus meets us now at the wells. We bring everything out into the open. Jesus sees it plainly. Jesus knew it already before we brought it out. And Jesus loves us anyway, despite our faults and our blemishes. Clear in the daylight, Jesus sees it and loves us anyway. Thanks be to God for that. Amen.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.